Islamic fundamentalism, jihad, the dependence of the U.S. economy on Arab oil. How can we make sense of it all? North Korea threatens world stability while millions protest for peace in Europe, the U.S., and at the Vatican. Daily, our world is becoming a more confusing and dangerous place. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subjects.
Our world is confusing, and how can we understand what is happening? Welcome to Good News Radio. This is part two in a series on making sense of today's confusing world. Last week, we discussed the dynamic and often violent tension that exists between the attempt by corporations and nations to create a global economy and those trying to protect a regional, national, or local culture or religion. The most visible, in terms of media coverage and impact on a global scale, are the conflicts both internally and externally in the Arab world. Here we can see women in burqas sipping American-made soft drinks while men watch American television programs on sets manufactured in Japan, drive German-made automobiles, and hate the infidels who make all this possible, even though the money is generated by Arab oil fields. Many Arabs see their culture and Islamic religion in danger of being swallowed up by what they perceive as a giant shark of consumerism. Last week, we discussed some of these issues with pastor and world traveler Melvin Rhodes, who has graciously agreed to join us again by telephone hookup from Lansing, Michigan. Welcome back, Melvin.
Thank you very much, Gary.
You know, maybe it's best to recap some of what we discussed last week about the fragmentation of the Arab world after the fall of the Ottoman Empire and how that affects what we see happening today.
Certainly. If you look at a map of the region, the Middle East, 100 years ago, you'll find that the Ottoman Empire dominated that area. And it was a part of the world where really nothing happened. Now, 100 years later, it's a part of the world that is the center, the very focus of everything that is taking place in the world today and that threatens us. There have been big changes to the map, and those changes came about as a result of the collapse of the Ottoman Empire at the end of World War I, when new nations came into existence: Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Kuwait, later on Jordan, and notably Israel. And the coming together of those nations has changed the dynamics in that area considerably.
What do you see amidst all this confusion of what's happening right now as the political and economic future of the relationship between the Arab world and the Western world?
Well, I think it's going to be a volatile relationship for a long time. There is a mutual need, of course. The West needs the Arab world for its oil. The Arab countries need the West for the items that they import, including food. But everything is complicated by the existence of Israel and American support for Israel, and also by rivalries amongst the different nations in the Arab world itself.
Do you see the conflicts in the Middle East as something that is going to unite the United States and Europe, or are there dangerous cracks that we're seeing in the West and how the individual nations then relate back to the Middle East?
The most likely area of conflict between Europe and the United States is going to be the Middle East, because they have divergent interests in that particular part of the world. First of all, the United States is very supportive of Israel. Now, the European countries are much more supportive of the Palestinians against the domination of Israel. This is partly due to demographics. In America, we have a very influential Jewish lobby when it comes to the electoral process. In Western Europe, there is a far higher percentage of peoples of Arab descent, and of course, they're very powerful at election time as well. Additionally, governments in Western Europe don't want to upset their indigenous Arab populations because then they might have violence on their own streets. And then additionally, there are conflicting economic interests. Europe is completely dependent on the Middle East for its oil, whereas the United States is only partially dependent. Europe has more investments in the Middle East because of its close proximity and greater historical ties. So there are definitely going to be increasing differences between Europe and the United States in this particular area of the world.
We have much more to talk about, including what the Bible says about the Middle East in prophecy. So don't go away.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We've been discussing the relationship between the Arab world, Europe, and the United States with Melvin Rhodes. Melvin, does the Bible contain any prophetic information about specifically the Arab world?
Yes, it does, Gary. There's a number of passages of Scripture that we could look at. I mentioned last week the prophecy in Genesis chapter 16 regarding Ishmael, the father of the Arab peoples. This prophecy shows that Ishmael's descendants, who are the peoples in the Middle East today, would be continually in a state of conflict, and also that they would dwell in the presence of their brethren, which means in the presence of the Jewish people and other tribes of Israel, including the tribe of Joseph, which is the United States and the nations of the British Commonwealth. We also see in Psalm 83 a prophesied coalition of nations in that particular part of the world that will come against the Israelite nations, including again the Jews and also the U.S. and Britain. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 20, Jesus Christ talks about the end time and says that when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that the end is nigh. In Matthew chapter 24, we see similar prophecies regarding this part of the world. In Zechariah chapter 12, we see that Jerusalem is going to be a great point of contention towards the time of the end prior to Christ's return. And then another important passage is in Daniel chapter 11, which is a whole passage on the Middle East in prophecy, and the last few verses are still to be fulfilled. Most of that chapter has been fulfilled already, but the last few verses are still to be fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the end time events prior to Christ's return.
Well, just how powerful are the Islamic nations today?
That's a good question, Gary. At the end of World War II, there were very few nations in the Islamic world which were independent. Iran was one, Turkey was another, but the Arab countries were all dominated by the European powers. Today there are 22 Arab countries, all independent. which means, of course, that everything in the Middle East is much more complicated. But in addition to those nations, other Islamic nations, which were ruled by European countries at the end of World War II, are also now independent and have had significant increases in the numbers of their citizens. Indonesia, for example, which was ruled by Holland until 1949. Pakistan and Bangladesh, which were a part of the British Empire until 1947. Even India itself, which is predominantly Hindu, has 200 million Muslims, which makes it the second most populous Islamic nation. Then you've also had, in the past decade or so, the collapse of the Soviet Union, which has given independence to a number of new countries which are predominantly Islamic, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and some of the other countries that are in the southern part of what was the Soviet Union. And all of these nations together now are 56 different countries. Remember, we have 190 countries in the world. 56 are nations that comprise the Islamic community. And these nations are increasingly acting together, and at some point, will come together even more powerfully from what we see in the scriptures.
What role will, say, the Arab people specifically play in those events that happen right before the Second Advent?
Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 11 for a moment. The whole of chapter 11 is a prophecy regarding the king of the north and the king of the south. And to understand it, we have to go right back to the time of Alexander the Great, who died in the 300s B.C., and his empire was divided up amongst his generals, and one of his generals became the king of the north and one the king of the south. And these two were constantly in conflict with each other, which impacted God's people, the nation of Israel, in the Middle East. And that prophecy picks up again prior to Christ's return. And the reason there's such a big gap between the ancient prophecies being fulfilled and today is because there was no Jewish nation in the Middle East until 1948. But now we've got a Jewish nation there again. And again, that nation is going to be affected by a king of the north and a king of the south. And if you look back at the changing map of the world over the past 50 years, you'll see that something very significant has happened. Because at the end of World War II, the world was still dominated by the United States and by the British Empire. But in the years after World War II, the British Empire came to an end. It took about 20 years before it finally collapsed completely. And so all these different nations in the Middle East then were completely independent of Western rule, and the area became much more complicated. But what we've seen in the intervening decades is that the nations in Europe are coming together in the European Union. And we've also seen the rise of Islamic nations right across North Africa, right across the Middle East, right into Pakistan and Bangladesh, Indonesia, and so on. So there we have the prophesied King of the North, which is the European nations, coming together in a final end-time union of 10 nations, and also the King of the South, which is the Arab nations, which are still coming together. They're not all together at this point, but they are striving to come together.
Melvin, I want to thank you for sharing this very important information with us today on Good News Radio.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure, Gary.
Well, don't go away. In the next segment, we have an interview with a man who spent a year living in Jordan and has some insight that can help us in making sense of today's confusing world.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
In this segment, we're on a telephone hookup with Rod Foster. Rod had some interesting insight into today's topic, in that he actually lived in the home of one of Jordan's royal families for a year. Rod, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Well, tell us about how you ended up living in Jordan.
Well, when I was in college, I had the opportunity to go on a teaching assignment in Amman, Jordan, sponsored by the royal family, and I took that opportunity to go visit another culture, learn another perspective, and gain a scholarship for my last year in college, all at the same time. It was a deal I couldn't pass up.
Now, what year was this?
It was the 1988-89 school year.
Okay. Now, I know I've talked to you about this before, and I've heard you say on numerous occasions how much you love the Palestinian people. Maybe you can share some of the positive experiences you had in the time that you spent in Jordan.
I spent a lot of my time growing up in the southern part of the United States. And you've heard of southern hospitality, of people greeting you, waving to you when you're driving on the highway, and which is all very true. Southern hospitality in the United States is very warm, but it pales in comparison to the hospitality of the Arabs. They are incredibly warm, generous people. There is a very generous, very warm, loving side to the Arab culture. I remember one time I was walking along with my friends, my associates, and we were just out for a walk to get a little exercise. Walked by somebody sitting on the porch, and we didn't know this person, and they didn't know us, and just invited us up to the porch to drink tea and talk. And we sat and talked with this family that we did not know for any reason, we didn't know at all, and just talked politics and life and with perfect strangers. They're just incredibly warm, incredibly hospitable people.
I guess that's something we don't see much in the United States as far as that side of those people.
Well, that's true. I mean, in the news, we see the fanatical side of them that is definitely there, but there's also a very warm and a very generous side. And I would also add that although they come across as a culture as being very quick-tempered, very angry and quick to anger, and I would say that's not an inaccurate picture. The region and the tensions in the region do tend to cause a lot of anger, but there's another side to the Arab culture, and that is they're very quick to forgive. They are a very tender-hearted people, and it tends to, that tender-heartedness tends to lead to quick-tempered, quick flare-ups, but it also leads to a pretty quick forgiveness and a reacceptance of you if you have offended them. So I think there is another side that we don't see.
Now, in your experience as a Christian, I know this is anecdotal, not a scholarly exposition, but from just your experiences, how would you describe the fundamental differences between Islam and Christianity? I'm sure you had lots of discussions with people there about that subject.
I have had a lot of discussions about that, almost daily, I would say. They're just about as eager to tell us about Islam as some Christians are to tell you about Christianity. And
I did have a lot of discussions with them. And I would say the most interesting or insightful discussion I had was with the man who hosted us, who owned the apartment that we lived in. He was the political advisor to King Hussein. His name was Adnan Abuode. Not Saddam Hussein, but King Hussein of Jordan, the former king, the father of the current king, King Abdullah. And Mr. Abuode was Harvard-educated, a very, very brilliant man, and he's analyzed the differences between our cultures and our religions. And I remember we were having dinner at his house one time, and he told us that one of the key differences between Christianity and Islam is that Christianity is a guilt-based belief system. In other words, you have guilt. Jesus Christ's sacrifice takes away that guilt. Everything is based on whether or not you're guilty or innocent. And Islam and the Islamic culture is based on a completely different principle. It's based on shame and honor, not guilt and innocence. So they look at life and actions and consequences completely different than Christians do. Christians look at it from a point of view, and I know it's definitely true for me, I look at things of whether or not they're right or wrong, whether or not I would be guilty or innocent of something. Whereas from an Islamic point of view, they would look at evaluating any action that they would take based on whether or not it would bring honor or shame to the family. And it's a very different set of criteria to judge life by.
Wow, that is fascinating. I tell you, Rod, we'd like to have you on again sometime to discuss this maybe in more depth.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Christians need to understand that the Quran categorically denies the divinity of Christ and claims Islam is the only true religion. The New Testament categorically claims that to deny Jesus as the Son of God is to deny true religion. We're back to unsolvable problems. Now, this doesn't mean that Christians and Muslims can't live together in peace. It does mean that we will be forever divided. There is a need for one world community. It is the only way we will ever achieve universal peace, but it can't be accomplished by creating one world market of consumers vying for more and newer products. Unfortunately, it won't be achieved by religion either. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to write about the time when Jesus Christ will return to this earth to establish his Father's kingdom. He records in Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 4, if you don't have a Bible, get one. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The only hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. And may God speed that day. And where can you look for encouragement when life seems to be out of control? Well, if you're hooked up to the internet, you'll want to search the Virtual Christian Magazine. Every month you'll find articles that deal with the practical aspects of trying to live a Christian life in this complicated and hostile world in which we live. You can read the current issue of Virtual Christian Magazine, as well as search the archives of past issues simply by logging in at vcmagazine.org. vcmagazine.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.